Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good Monday morning. Welcome to the Environment and Natural Resources Committee Room. My name is Jim Boyle, and we're prepared to start our, I think, 7 public hearings for the day. With that, I believe we can get started. Representative Tipping Spitz, please present. LD 1340 is an act to ensure Maine's preparedness for hazardous oil spills.
Good morning. Senator Boyle, Representative Welsh, and distinguished members of the Joint Standing Committee on Environment and Natural Resources. My name is Ryan Tipping Spitz. This is my second time presenting before you, and I just want to reiterate that I am still jealous of your committee assignments. I'm here to present LD 1340, an act to ensure Maine's preparedness for hazardous oil spills. At the most basic level, this bill aims to make sure that the Maine Coastal and Inland Surface Oil Cleanup Fund, which I'll refer to from here on out as the Surface Fund, is healthy. Like most good bills, this proposal did not come from Augusta, but was instead brought to me by a constituent. I'm fortunate enough to represent the town of Orono, or most of the town of Orono, and I have the best scientific resource in the state in my backyard, the University of Maine. When I was contacted with concerns about the state of the Surface Fund, I began to research how Maine deals with oil spills and how we pay for it. As this committee knows, diving into issues like this is not a quick exercise, but over the past few months I've learned quite a bit. We have two oil spill funds administered by the DEP, the Surface Fund and the Groundwater Fund. The purpose of the Surface Fund is to pay for expenses incurred by the DEP to carry out its responsibilities under Maine's Oil Discharge Prevention and Pollution Control Act. This includes the cost of cleaning up oil spills, purchasing and maintaining oil spill cleanup equipment, restoring water supplies contaminated by oil, third-party damages, and associated administrative costs. I have attached a brief history of the fund. It looks like this. It's my testimony. It was provided by the DEP, and they've been very helpful in making sure that I have the information I need. And after going back and taking a look at the minutes from a group called the Maine Oil Spill Advisory Committee from April 9th, 2012, I was alarmed to see that in the minutes it said revenues are below expenses and the Surface Fund is expected to be at zero by December 2013. I'm happy to report that didn't happen. There's still, we're probably going to hear the exact amounts, but there's still a good chunk of change in the fund. But there is a pretty serious revenue shortfall. The fund has been shored up recently by some cuts to unfilled positions and some going back and looking at previous expenses that were originally taken from the Surface Water Fund that were instead reimbursed by the Groundwater Fund. As I learned, some of these spills, you don't know where it came from. There's this oil, and it needs to be cleaned up. And that's what this fund is for. The bill before you attempts to modernize the fund by implementing a feature that's also found in the Groundwater Fund. When the fund gets too low, the DEP is authorized to start a surcharge on top of the normal 3 cents per barrel fee that adds up to a maximum of 4.5 cents per barrel of oil shipped, trucked, piped, or brought into Maine on rail. This is one of a lot of different solutions. When I was looking at this, I heard from a lot of people that we should just increase the fee a flat amount. It's important to know it hasn't been increased in at least 20 years. It definitely hasn't kept up with inflation and hasn't kept up to the costs of a good oil spill cleanup program. I heard that we should index it to inflation. I heard that we should do a lot of things. But I think this feature particularly allows the DEP to put the surcharge on. In the language you'll see, if it drops below a certain point, the surcharge goes on. And the fund has a cap of $6 million, so when it reaches that cap, the initial fee stops being collected as well. The surcharge would actually cut off before it reaches the top cap. And if this is confusing, I apologize. I've been steeped in this quite a bit. And the bill also takes care of an oversight in the law that applied the charge only to refined oil when it's brought in by rail or truck, and it just adds crude oil to that list as well. I strongly believe that we elected officials need to make sure we're giving our scientists and our safety officials the ability to react to these spills. I don't think we should be making politics out of situations like these, especially when an oil spill can be devastating not only to the environment, but to our economy. Obviously, we've seen the devastation of oil spills in the United States. We've seen the Gulf of Mexico. We've seen what can happen when fishing industries are destroyed by mistakes or bad luck, whatever you want to call it. The goal of this legislation is not to punish any industry. And you'll hear the pipeline stand up and say they have a great safety record. And you'll hear other people speak against this bill. But it's important to realize that this is a cost of doing business. If we're going to run large amounts of oil through the state, we have to budget for the risk that's accepted by doing that business. I don't think we're going to be off oil tomorrow, and I think it does play a very important role. But I do think we need to make sure that if we take the risk, we're paying for it in a way that we're able to respond to oil spills efficiently and quickly. Speaking to that, I attached two news articles. One's from the Vanguard Daily News, and talks about the train derailment, which I'm sure you folks have heard about in Mattawamkeag. Thankfully, not a whole lot spilled, and we had a great DEP response. But it's important to note that a lot of the rails through Maine, if not most of them, go along major riverways. I grew up on the Stillwater River. My folks still live there. It's a great place to live, and it's also, our rivers are a large part of why Maine developed how it did. Our early economy was based a lot on rivers, and I think it's important to protect those resources. There's one other news article in here, and it was sent to me after I already put the bill in, and it hints towards one amendment that I'd like you all to consider. Listed in the statute of many states that have programs like this are all the different types of oil that are subject to the fee. And in one state, the tar sands were not considered as one of the things considered by the fee. So when a pipeline did leak and caused quite a bit of damage, the company hadn't been paying it because they were exempted from it. So we don't do a whole lot of business with tar sands, if any, but I would say that it's important to think about the future and if we want to include that in the statute from here on out. So I'd throw that out. It's not in the bill, but it's something that the committee may want to think about. I did attend the Maine Oil Spill Advisory Committee. It was a great experience. They've got a great group of people from pilots, people who captain ships, to the Coast Guard, fishermen, scientists, and members of the business community who deal with oil. And I, from the meeting I went to, I was struck at how much this fund has been cut. It's still functional, but the words that were used at the meeting were cut to the bone. They've already eliminated two positions, like I said, that were not filled. And I think it's important, again, that we make sure scientists and professionals have the resources to respond when they need it. So with that, I'll take any questions.
Thank you for your testimony. Questions from the committee? Yes. Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative, for presenting this bill. Do you know if we made, I need to go back and look at our budget, but did we make cuts in this upcoming biennial budget in this fund?
I don't know. I think this is a separate fund from, obviously the general fund. And I do have a handy chart that was handed out of the history of the fund.
Yeah.
The department may provide that. If not, I can make sure you get it for the work session.
That's true. This is funded through fees,
yeah.
So it's not. But why do we think that fees was it just not generating enough fees, and that's why they had to...
From what I understand, the biggest supplier of funds to the... or fees to the fund has been historically the Portland Pipeline and their operations, and their volume has been decreasing. I'm definitely sensitive to the fact that we don't want to put more fees on Maine businesses, But I weigh that against the possibility of what could happen if we don't have a strong fund. I think it's also important to keep independent funds like this strong. I don't think we should leave programs like this at the whim of an administration or at the whim of the state legislature's appropriations battles. So I think that's another part of this. And I just wanted to, from the committee, the advisory committee, there was $241,000 in reduction in expenses. So they're doing a very good job making this program as efficient as possible. That was not filling positions, though, including a training specialist and a biologist in land and water. The fiscal presentation did include the words getting down to the bone and going to hit a wall. That's how it was described to me. They also did $129,000 in reduction in building and equipment costs as well. I should mention, I mean, this isn't a fund where the money just sits there and waits for a spill. If you do that, you're not going to be ready. You have to make sure people are trained and prepared to respond. We have the equipment. We have people who are trained. So there are ongoing expenses.
Yes, Representative Chipman.
Thank you, Representative Tiffin-Smith. You, for presenting this bill, you had alluded in your testimony just a few minutes ago, although it's not in the bill, that we may consider amending the bill to include the cost for any potential cleanup from tar sands oil, and you said you don't think it's being transported in Maine right now or that it's not an issue right now. I've actually heard that there's tar sands oil being transported by rail, and I'm wondering if it's something we could look into more if that's happening, but would you suggest that we amend your bill to include the cleanup costs from a tar sands oil spill should one occur in the future? Or?
Well, I think the fund will already respond to that. I think the important part is adding bitumen, or whatever the technical term is for tar sands, in the list of crude oil, refined oil, and then and the statute actually lists out a bunch of different refined oils. So I would encourage you to do that. I mean, it would be helpful to hear from industry if they are. From what I understand, there are quite a lot of trucks coming in transporting North Dakota crude. But again, I'm not an expert in this, so I defer to people behind me to speak to that. There's one other thing I forgot to mention in my testimony. Senator Langley will be following me. He signed on as a co-sponsor to this bill because I think it's important to his constituency, and also he's got a really good idea that he'll tell you all about of trying to make sure that Maine fishermen have an opportunity to participate as well in case of a spill.
Representative Ioffe has a question.
Who manages the fund? I'm looking for the name of the fund here. Maine Coastal Inland Surface Oil Cleanup Fund. Who manages that?
It's the DEP, and I believe it's the Division of Response Services, but I think.
Okay. Where is it being collected?
Where? I think it's collected from industries when they report how much comes into the state. They have to report for a number of reasons when they import large amounts of oil.
That's on a ship? Comes in on a ship?
Comes in on a ship, rail, truck, pipeline. It should have come in through pipeline.
And they assess a fee right there, 3 cents? Do you want it 3 cents?
Well, I don't think the collector's standing at the border, but they do have to report how much they're bringing in, and it's assessed on that, 3 cents per barrel.
So what will this cost industry?
I don't have the figures of the totals that are coming in at the moment.
I didn't think you did.
No, okay.
No problem. That's the least of our worries. Thank you.
No problem.
Other questions? Senator Gottlieb has a question.
Yes, thank you, and thank you very much for taking this on. I think it's very important. Two basic questions. So this is 3 or 4 cents per barrel, and oil is now selling at what? I can remember, $80 a barrel or something. I mean, so this is a fairly small, less than 1%, it would seem, that we're adding to that fee. And is this money invested by the department? Does it, if you have $6 million in there, is it going to continue to grow, or is it spent each year?
The fee is shut off when they reach $6 million, and under the legislation I put forward, they could shut the there's a window where it drops too low that they can turn the extra surcharge on, which is only 50% of the current fee. I had a lot of people talking in my ear that I should come up here and propose, you know, a lot more than that, but we'll start here and have a good conversation about it. I believe under the what I'm proposing, it says the commissioner may use the emergency rulemaking procedures if necessary to ensure that the fee increase.
But this money's not just sitting idle. It's not just
No, it's being spent on training, making sure our equipment is up to date and all.
And the annual budget they usually spend is $2-6 million part of the. Well, we'll hear from that then.
I think that would be a better question from you.
And then my second question is, how much does it cost if you have the Torrey Canyon or Exxon Valdez? I mean, and who pays for that? Is that if we have somebody running aground in Penobscot Bay or off of Portland Harbor, does the state pay for that, or does that all go to the federal government? Or?
Well, I should make clear, this fund doesn't make it so that Maine can respond to a full spill with our resources entirely. This is just money enough to start the first responses, to make sure it's quick. We don't have to worry about who's paying for it and the job gets done. A lot of times, if there's a party that's obvious and responsible, we can go back and collect. Most of them have good insurance companies, and we can refill the funds from a major spill. I think I heard a couple spills in Maine during the larger spills, such as the Julie N. oil spill in Portland Harbor, where 186,000 gallons of oil was spilled into the water when the vessel collided with a $1 million bridge. Hundreds of thousands of dollars were spent per day. And I would assume that total is actually a lot higher now than it was. During the 2008 in Portland Harbor alone, 174 million barrels of petroleum were delivered into Maine via oil tankers and barges.
So being such a people, I'll just come up just to give me a large perspective. There's a major spill, how that's allocated and how we deal with that. Thank you very much.
Okay, I don't see any other questions, so thank you for your presentation.
Thank you very much for your time, and I'll be definitely available for the work sessions. A couple members of the advisory committee, I don't know if they're here, were planning on submitting testimony. I don't know if all of them could make it today, but thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you. Senator Langley.
Good morning.
Welcome to ENR.
Yes, pleasure. I've never been here. All the way down this end of the hall.
Delighted to have you, sir.